I'll never forget, you know, before we deployed the system, you know, he kind of said right out of the gate, you know, Danny, a lot of these kids come into the world with strike one, and my job is to make sure they never hit strike two. Your job is to give me the data and information to make sure, you know, the medications and stuff we're giving these kids are where they need to be.
Chatting with Danny Keough, who's head of global customer success at SmartSense. SmartSense, for those of you who don't know, describe themselves as the leading global provider of Internet of Things sensing as a service solutions that deliver dynamic and personalized asset monitoring, process digitization, and digital decisioning, which is a mouthful, but if you pull it apart, it's a lot of stuff. But Danny, thanks for doing this. Thanks for the time. Really looking forward to your insights.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. You know, great intro. I think to sum it up, the big goal we try to do is just bring customer delight and value through connected IoT systems.
Okay. So your title is head of global customer success at SmartSense. So that's a big, big remit. It's a big title. It's a big remit that implies an awful lot of stuff. But, you know, within the context of what SmartSense does, can you describe what you do there? And then maybe we can just kind of unpack SmartSense a little bit further.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, the best way to kind of describe what, you know, myself and the team are doing right now is driving value. So from the delivery effort, we have project management teams. We have a field service national program that we utilize to implement our system and equipment. And then that stems into customer success management. So one of the goals that we really try to drive is aligning with customers and what their desired outcomes are going to be. So assigning people to accounts to align on that, making sure, you know, we're marching towards the same goals together. That's a big, big role with what that customer success management team does. And then it kind of rounds out. I have a tech support team. We do inbound troubleshooting calls. But in the SaaS, you know, model that we try to provide, it's being proactive. So a lot of what we do as well is we do outbound phone calls with that time or that team. We'll look and find things that we can maybe prescribe some different types of actions that we want to drive changes to the customer with that group. And then finally is the analytics program. We call them Customer Success Analytics. I'm sure we'll touch on it in a minute, but, you know, we try to go beyond the basics of what SmartSense does, which, you know, may be alerting or drawing awareness to an action. But this team tries to find trends in the data. You know, it could be, you know, refrigerator doors left open, could be the second chicken temp cook on Tuesdays and region two is, you know, the coaching opportunity. So they kind of get down with the data.
Wow. That's a lot of stuff. So just from the earlier description, have a sense that there's hardware involved, it's IoT signaling, it's a lot of analysis and insights. Can you describe just in a practical sense, somebody's deploying SmartSense. Is it mostly a hardware consideration? Is it mostly a SaaS consideration where it's insights analysis? Or is it more of a consulting application? How does it all work there? What does it look like?
Yeah, no, great question. You know, the way we like to position this is that we're a SaaS business. We utilize all kinds of different sensors, but the main goal is to provide you with data insights, but more importantly, awareness into the data. I think that's one of the coolest parts about the job is customers, you know, a lot of time they may have an idea that they may have some challenges, but when we kind of get the data and we start collecting all the different data points, you start realizing, oh, maybe my problem is a little bit more than I realized. But more importantly, what SmartSense tries to do is prescribe those actions on where you can make it better. And coaching opportunities is like we like to call it. So it's really connecting that platform, trying to give a single pane view and really empowering the customer to be successful.
Interesting. I'm already thinking of about 30 use cases right now that are may or may not be real ones, but you know, there's a lot of utility for what you guys do.
Sure.
What are some of the primary verticals that you're operating in?
Yeah. So, you know, generally we kind of cover, I would look at it as kind of three core verticals, which would be healthcare, food service, warehouse, supply chain. But then within them, you know, food service can entail grocery, convenience stores, hospitality, catering. We have a big presence in K-12, colleges and universities. And then healthcare is similar, you know, that bucket kind of stems into retail, pharma, pharmaceutical manufacturing, blood banks, general hospital cares, ORs, ERs, you know, kind of that cascaded net. So it kind of has deep roots.
Okay. So you're operating as a SaaS model. I'm skating around what's probably really obvious to you and everybody else listening, but I haven't quite found it yet. The SaaS solution that you're providing is a function of plugging into existing IoT inputs and then providing analysis and insight to that, correct? Do I have that close to right?
Yeah, so through a combination of deploying our hardware and our software solutions and analytics, there's also opportunities where we'll tell customers, hey, connect us with some of the other vendors you're utilizing, and let's okay. find ways to put you at the center of all this.
Gotcha.
And that's where you start to provide a wider net of solutions, which drives value.
Okay. And that's what all right. We do. Starting to come into focus. It yep. took a few minutes, but I'm starting to yep. get it. So as I suspected, because of the nature of what SmartSense does and what you do within SmartSense, you probably have insights globally that a lot of people don't have. So that's why when Nikki and her team reached out with your 2024 predictions, I mean, let's face it, everybody has 2024 predictions at the end of 2023, sure. and you sure. have to pick and choose who you really want to listen to. But but based on the sheer quantity of data that you guys have going through your hands, it seems like you're gonna possess some insights that probably not many people do. So, without giving away anything we shouldn't, proprietary or otherwise, I'm dying to hear. You know, you look into and operate within the CX space pretty deeply, clearly. What do you see? What are some of the biggest? If I say trends, it's just too easy because you know. Sure. But let me phrase it this way. If you're a CX provider, if you're a CX professional, what are some of the things that you see that you would like to advise these people they need to be aware of?
So maybe the best way to answer that is I'll share a story. So this kind of came from one of our customers where we implement our solution and system, and it's a NICU environment. And, you know, I'll never forget, you know, before we deployed the system, you know, he kind of said right out of the gate, you know, Danny, a lot of these kids come into the world with strike one, and my job is to make sure they never hit strike two. Your job is to give me the data and information to make sure, you know, the medications and stuff we're giving these kids are where they need to be. So having said that, and kind of to your question, you know, what we do with our data is we start to identify, you know, again, hate to say the word trends, but we identify areas where maybe gaskets on refrigerators will prescribe actions that those need replace. It could be adjusting set points. It could be the doors are being left open. It could be placement. Maybe there's ice buildup in certain areas. So we try to give them that insight and analysis because gone are the days of set it and forget it. Customers, they want to be proactive. And in this situation, you know, it's for a very, you know, huge cause and being proactive to protect lives. So they're leveraging that kind of data to really drive efficiencies, which and then, you know, in turn protects their patients. So I think it's just a great way to kind of to synergize when you look ahead with customer success, you know, taking analytics and the data and the different types of modeling points that you put together where you can drive more value, more targeted actions to making those improvements. You know, that's what's really going to pull people through.
Finfair Connect drives incrementality to data-driven loyalty platforms. With over 15 million consumers using their services, they're one of the leading personalized offers platform in the UK, US, and Australia, providing a one-stop solution for open banking, card-linked, affiliate offers, and gift cards. As part of Finfair Inc., which provides modern expense management solutions to SMBs, Finfair Connect is literally transforming the payment-linked offer space by creating full, self-service, white-label portals for advertisers and publishers, thus enabling advertisers to reach hundreds of publishers via one portal, saving time and, of course, money. Check them out at connect.finfair.com. How would you hope this isn't I'm trying to formulate something that actually sounds like a question and it's not quite there yet. So I get the utility. I completely get it. How would you map that out into the worlds of people who need to be concerned with customer success and customer experience to show them that they need to be more proactive in this way? I'll let you try and answer that question. That's not even really a question.
Yeah, no, I think all solutions, we want them to kind of operate and run on themselves. And I think there's uncertainty with technology. There's fear of failing. And the companies I think do it well is one of the larger pieces of the organization is that customer success model. And that's something we brought with SmartSense with our president Guy and our team is we really wanted to ensure that our customer felt the value of the services we offered from the start, from the sales side, from pre-sales to the delivery, and then the success side. So kind of uncovering some of those uncertainties really allowed us to drive that. And then ultimately, I don't know if you're familiar with the book, Raving Fans, but that's something we all read as a customer success team. And it boiled down to deciding what we wanted to do with our customers and then discovering what our customers wanted from us and then execute on those visions.
So when you're identifying new client opportunities, mm-hmm. You know, you can go about this the way I'm sure you do. Partially, you're going to respond to RFPs. But if you're out there scouring the world for the ideal client to take advantage of your offerings, what does that client look like? Are there any kind of, here's some key factors we look for in great people to work with?
I think, it's really looking for customers that have identified problems they want to solve. That may be around energy consumption, maybe around waste. But usually it's we try to do that discovery of, there's a lot of solutions out there. So tell us what you're trying to solve and then we'll work towards that solution. And then that's where the team kind of drives, once the solution is implemented, how do we scale it? How do you have success with it? And that's where we position the customer success program as a differentiator because SmartSense has invested a lot in that to making sure customers are successful. Hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a question. Sorry. This will hopefully improve as we go on here. Are there, forgive me if this is way too deep in the weeds, but are there stack dependencies? Are there any technological dependencies that SmartSense, you need to work with, making this totally up, but you can only work with the SAP ecosystem to make the most sense out of your operation? Or is it, you need XYZ components in the stack to make it work? Or is SmartSense kind of agnostic to the hardware and then, whatever internal CDPs or BI tools companies may have?
Yeah, I think the way we like to position it is flexibility with our configuration. So what that means is we leverage APIs where needed. Customers can tie them into BI systems and tools. The end users, we try to keep it as simple as possible, meaning that there doesn't need to be a high technical proficiency behind it. And that's, again, the value of what we partner with the customer. We'll apply resources and we'll guide them Here's what we see successful from an alerting standpoint. We'll cascade a hierarchy. And a lot of it is just identifying, you know, hey, we like this. We want text messages. We want alerting to these groups of individuals. Or, gotcha. You know, when you have analytics, we want them to go to this group of individual. And we just kind of configure that system to where it's optimal for them to arrive at.
Cool. I'm thinking of, we interact with a fair amount of CX technology providers. Mm-hmm. Because of what we do, and some of it's pretty sophisticated technology, and I'm just running through. I don't think I'm aware of anybody out there who's got a kind of an integrated functionality with IoT. It seems to me, you know, there's all kinds of telephony crazy stuff there, and there's all kinds of voice and sentiment analysis and, you know, what you can do with AI there, but I can't think of anybody who's actually selling a feature set based on IoT in the CX space, which if I'm right, I may not be right, is a pretty big opportunity.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think it's you know, we're most customers, kind of like I mentioned before, it's the fear of the uncertainty. They want to be successful with a project like this. You know, their name is stamped and tied to the project. So where you can bring that value, show them the value of that insights, whether it is through features and functionality, we like to just kind of roll it on the value of the demand, right? So we'll point out these are certain areas where maybe your alarms were lasting 4 hours, 5 hours at a time. Here's the coaching we drove with the end users in the regions, and now you've got it down to an hour. Let's celebrate that. Let's talk internally with your leadership about that. And it becomes more of a partnership. And that's, to me, that's the fun value when customers view you as a partner and not just a vendor.
Yeah. I mean, what you're describing goes well beyond just analysis and insights. You're, you know, helping them navigate cultural change even sometimes.
Absolutely. And then that leads to other opportunities, right? Hey, you help me with this. I'm also having a challenge with this. And it's like, all right, well, let's connect us where we need to be connected to. And let's help make it better for you.
Super interesting. So I'm looking at the one of the items that your team had sent over in advance of this call. And I'm really intrigued to see where this goes. But the headline of this particular section is, why fit in when your CX models can stand out? So to me, I mean, of course, yes, yes, yes. What can a CX team do to make their model stand out?
I think it's boils down to being proactive. I think, you know, customers want that offense approach. I think especially with the scale that we build and we operate on, you know, some of our customers have thousands and thousands and thousands of locations, and being able to separate ourselves from one company to another, it's being proactive with our analytics, being proactive with our actions, identifying trends like weather patterns. You know, hurricanes are going through. Here's what we recommend. And it's like, oh, I haven't thought about that. Thank you for telling us. And then the returns we get is, you know, with our CX model, customers will tell us like, hey, you know, so-and-so, that they're a part of our family or they're a part of our operation now. And that's a cool place to be when you're kind of trying to separate from a market that has a lot of players in it.
Yeah. And yeah, completely agree. I'm nodding. You can't tell on the podcast when I'm nodding in agreement.
It's a fun world to be in when you're in.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, affecting customer sentiment is, as we know, really important, but it's also, to do it well is really difficult. Yep. You know, you can create a momentary like, thumbs up, or even, you know, some sort of moment of passion, if you will, but sustaining that in a scalable way is really, really, really difficult. And
Yeah, please go ahead. We've been really lucky. We've had some just amazing employees that have really bought into what we're trying to do from a CS program and company. And then it becomes more second nature. So it's a little easier because when you wake up in the day, you know, I'll have, you know, some of my staff tell me like, hey, I was actually thinking of calling so-and-so and, you know, their son, their birthday's next week. And it's like, well, you got to that level of a relationship with them from the value. And it just stemmed into, you know, that kind of relationship. And it becomes easy to people to talk business and then personal when you build that.
Completely agree. Yeah, it's refreshing to talk to a company that has a big client list that still views these things on an individual relationship basis. Yeah, I love hearing that.